की जाए, शीशी गोणिथाय की जाए, समावेत भक्तवृंद की जाए, गोइंग बैक टू होम, बैक टू गॉडहेड की जाए, इस्कॉन लॉस एंजेलिस यात्रा की जाए, रीहार्मोनाइज्ड ट्रांसेंडेंटल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जाए, इंटरनेशनल फूड फॉर लाइफ ट्रांसेंडेंटल प्रसादम डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जाए, श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जाए, नित्य गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल, ऑल ग्लोरीज़ टू द असेंबली ऑफ डिवोटीज़, ऑल ग्लोरीज़ टू द असेंबली ऑफ डिवोटीज़, ऑल ग्लोरीज़ टू द असेंबली ऑफ डिवोटीज़, ऑल ग्लोरीज़, ऑल ग्लोरीज़ टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा ग्लोरीज़ टू श्रील प्रभुपाद. So we're continuing our reading from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 9. Today's text is 37. Yat chakartanga mat stotram mat katabhyudayankitam yad va tapasi te nishta sa esha madanugraha yatsya karatanga mat stotram mat katabhyudayantikam yadva tapasite nishta sa esha madanugraha Yatsakartanga matstotram matkatabhyudayankitam yadva tapasite nishta sa esha madanugraha Yatsakartanga matstotram matkatabhyudayankitam Yadva tapasite nishta sa esha madanugraha. Please chant. Tapasite nishta yadva kitam yadva tapasite nishta saisha madanugraha Yatsakartanga matstotram matkatabhyudayankitam yadva tapasite nishta taisha madanugraha Vaishnavis Yatsakartanga matstotram Matkatabhyudayankitam Yadva tapasite nishta Sa esha madanugraha Synonyms, yet that which Chakarta performed, Anga, O Brahma, Matstotram,
prayers for me. Matkata, words regarding my activities. Abhyudaya Ankitam, enumerating my transcendental glories. Yat, or that. Va, either. Tapasi, in penance. Te, your. Nishta, faith. Saha, that. Eshaha, all these. Mat, my. Anugraha, causeless mercy. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. O Brahma, the prayers that you have chanted praising the glories of my transcendental activities, the penances you have undertaken to understand me, and your firm faith in me, all these are to be considered my causeless mercy. Please repeat. O Brahma, the prayers that you have chanted, praising the glories of my transcendental activities, the penances you have undertaken to understand me, and your firm faith in me, all these are to be considered my causeless mercy. Srila Prabhupada's purport. When a living entity desires to serve the Lord in transcendental loving service, the Lord helps the devotee in so many ways as the Chaitya Guru, or the spiritual master within, and thus the devotee can perform many wonderful activities beyond material estimation. By the mercy of the Lord, even a layman can compose prayers of the highest spiritual perfection. Such spiritual perfection is not limited by material qualifications, but is developed by dint of one's sincere endeavor to render transcendental service. Voluntary endeavor is the only qualification for spiritual perfection. Material acquisitions of wealth or education are not considered. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namene Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshtarine Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Sapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishivangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raganatan Batam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Batangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kopa Turubhyashta Kripa Sindhuma Evacha Patitanang Pavane Pyo Vaishnava Pyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So yesterday, Brigapati brought us up to speed, taking us back to who's speaking to whom, and brought us up to this state where Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is speaking to Lord Brahma, which is natural. He's the father, and the natural duty of the father. How many fathers in the room? Put your hand up if you have children. So the majority of men in the room have children. So it's the natural duty of the father to instruct the offspring. Actually, even before the father, the mother starts giving instruction. When? Even when the child is in the womb. We know from the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj that when he was in the womb, he was hearing the instructions given by Narad Muni to his mother. And so he came out of the womb already realized, having understood transcendental knowledge. So the mother gives instruction even before the child is born, what to speak of afterwards. Naturally, the mother is the first one to start instructing. So the mother and the father are the natural gurus of the child. Now, in this case, Lord Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is mother and father. Prabhupada stated many times, he did not have to take help of some female, some woman to give birth to a child. By his desire, The lotus flower sprouted from his navel, and Lord Brahma appeared on the top of that lotus flower. And he, Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, 11th chapter, Pitaham asya jagata mata data pitamaha. He says, Pita aham asya jagata. I am the Pita, the father of the entire jagat, universe. But not just father, mata also, data, the sustainer, pitamaha. I am the grandsire of everything and everyone here. So then it's not surprising that he shows it practically by giving birth to a child by himself without taking help of Lakshmi. In other words, the internal consort of Lord Vishnu is Lakshmi, Devi. And he didn't have to take her assistance to give birth to a child. Just imagine if that was the reality for us nowadays, marriage would be completely done. Any man who wanted a son or a child would just sprout a lotus from his navel. But it's just the opposite. We were discussing last night that there's been some studies recently that shows that the sperm count of men nowadays, currently, is gone way down compared to even just a few decades ago. And Prabhupada said that whenever there is union and there's no child produced, usually it's because the man is not potent enough. Usually it's the man's fault. So, but there's no question of impotence for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's supremely potent. So he gives the ingredients of the universe, that's called sarga, and then he gives birth to Lord Brahma. In each innumerable universes, there's a Lord Brahma. And that Brahma then does visarga, subsequent creation, taking the ingredients. Prabhupada used to say, again, that the modern scientists are so proud of their creations, rockets, and, you know, television, all of their wonderful creations, automobile. But no scientist can be locked in a room somewhere and produce anything. They have to have ingredients. They have to have ingredients, and they have to have the knowledge how to extract those ingredients. Just like if you give an ordinary person a truckload of iron ore mixed in earth, they wouldn't know what to do with it. But a geologist, a trained person, understands, yeah, there's iron ore in this particular dirt. You can extract the ore in this way. You can smelt it. And then you can add something to it to make it steel, stainless, like that. So the knowledge is required at every step. Yet, we're thinking, or we're mistrained to think, that it all happens just randomly. No planning, no director, no nothing. It just happens randomly. Something exploded and everything just kind of happened randomly after that. Nonsense. Completely bogus. Any intelligent person can understand that this sequence that's being described here makes a lot more sense. The Supreme Personality, by his will, manifests the most qualified living entity in each universe. And if there are no qualified living entities in the universe, then he himself takes the role of Lord Brahma. That's stated. But in this case, the most qualified jiva has been given that position and is being instructed by the Lord what to do. And he says, even when you can't see me, I am inside as Chaita Guru, telling you what to do. So, because Brahma is qualified, he can hear the Lord. We discussed this last time I gave class. Because he's qualified, advanced enough, he can hear the Lord and follow instructions directly. If you're completely unqualified, yes, you still hear a voice inside, but that voice, depending on the mode of nature that you're conducted under, will tell you to do all kinds of nonsense things. People hear voices inside telling them, yes, do this, do that, and they do it, but it's all nonsense. So as you become purified, you start to hear more clearly the voice of the super soul. But until you're a completely pure devotee, and even those completely pure devotees, they always like to be corroborated. I'm thinking to do such and such. I go to my guru or other advanced devotees and discuss. And Prabhupada encouraged that. He did not want us to independently do whatever we want to do. That is completely bogus. Whatever idea you have, you should always get it corroborated by guru first of all, or other senior advanced devotees. Don't just act whimsically and unilaterally. That is not encouraged. So Lord Brahma, has nobody else except Lord Vishnu at this point, no other assistants, and he will gradually generate progeny, who will then themselves generate progeny. So as I've many times said, every one of us sitting here in this particular room are connected to Lord Brahma in two ways. Spiritually, to the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, we're getting our knowledge coming down from Lord Brahma. And materially. Lord Brahma is the first created being in every universe. So all other beings that come later on are related to him because they're generated by his sons and sons of sons and sons like that. So whichever way you trace out your genealogy, materially or spiritually, we are all connected to Lord Brahma. So we won't be surprised because we've heard from authority what he looks like, what his service is, what he has done already. According to the calculations of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he's a little more than halfway through his life, a little more than 50 years old by his calculation. So if we were to meet him, what a personality, four arms, four heads, we wouldn't be shocked. The average person on the street, they would think it's a joke or some kind of, you know, advertising promotion. They wouldn't believe that this is an actual personality with four heads, four arms, can fly in the sky on a swan. You see? They say, no, that's mythology. This kind of thing can't happen. They're trying with their little silly rockets to go to Mars and Moon and all that. That they believe in. But if you tell them there's a being in the universe who can travel anywhere in the universe on a swan, Hansa carrier, no, they don't believe that. They don't accept it. So we don't follow such rascals. We accept knowledge coming down from the perfect through descendants. That's called Sampradaya. And if you don't get your knowledge in Sampradaya, then it's useless. That's also stated. Sampradaya vinamye, mantaste nishpalam spriha. There's no fruit to be gained by any knowledge that's not coming down in Sampradaya. When the British went to India, they met this kind of philosophy, this kind of culture. And how are you going to, first of all, they're coming from a tiny little island in the North Sea, North Atlantic. You know, their population even back then in the 1800s was nothing compared to India, what to speak of now. So they went there. How are you going to conquer? They have a lot more people than you. They have a very advanced culture. It's obvious. Astronomy, astrology, all of that was well known in India, practiced. How are you going to conquer them? So they systematically indoctrinated the educated Indians by educating them in their values, Christian values and their belief of how the universe came into being and everything else. But what about the Vedas? Nah, that's all just mythology. Do you really believe there's a guy with four heads and four arms flying on a swan? That's mythology. And so nowadays in India, you still have that. Even after the British have been kicked out, there's still people in India who believe that the Vedas are mythological. They don't accept it. Even though they may not be Christian or whatever, they still believe that all these stories of Ram and Ravana and all that, that's all mythology. Just to teach you, you know, some moral lesson or something. No, it's actual fact. If we want to make progress in Krishna consciousness, we have to accept that all these things are factual. They're not mythological. There really is a Lord Brahma with four heads and four arms. And when he wants to go someplace, he rides on a swan. There really is a Lord Shiva. And when he wants to go somewhere, he rides on his bull. Not ordinary bull. Krishna and Arjuna, they went to see Mahavishnu on a chariot with horses. What kind of horses are those that can go outside the universe and come back in such a short amount of time that everybody was still there? We know ordinarily, as you go up higher up in the universal hierarchy, time changes. Time is relative. So if you were to go to see Lord Brahma even for a minute and come back, everything here on this planet would be completely destroyed or so far gone, so many generations have passed that nobody would even recognize you. That's the actual fact. But somehow or other, Krishna, by his mystic potency, took Arjuna to see Mahavishnu and came back and everybody was still there. So the Lord can do that. He can change time any way he wants. Ordinarily, we cannot do that. Time is changing us. Time is pushing us. You cannot deny that. Even the strongest, just like here in California, we have experience of our former governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You can see so many pictures and videos of him when he was a youth. He was one of the strongest men in the world, one Mr. Universe or whatever they call it so many times. But look at him now. He still works out, but he looks like an old man. Time is pushing along. You cannot hold it back with your physical strength. You cannot hold it back with your mental acumen. You cannot hold back time. Time is pushing everything along. As Krishna says, Kalosmi Lokashayastri. I am that time factor that's destroying everything. And it affects us also. It's not that we're just lecturing and time is not affecting us. We just heard the news that our god sister, Omkara, has passed away. And she was younger than us. When I joined, I was 21 and she joined around the same time. I think she was 17 at that time. So she's a few years younger. And she's gone. So we have to take that seriously. Prabhupada said when he was about to leave this world, don't think this won't happen to you. It's not that I'm getting old and you're not, because most of his disciples were young. We were all young when we joined. So don't think that the passing, we haven't put a picture yet of Omkara, but it will happen to all of us. One day people will come to Mangalartik and they'll see our picture sitting there. Hopefully, maybe they won't find a picture of me anywhere, but I like to take pictures of the devotees. As you know, I like to document life, but probably not too many pictures of me existing. But it's going to happen. This is called Pashyanapi na Pashyati. We are sufficiently experienced. Grandfather is gone, great-grandfather for sure. God sisters, God brothers have already left, but some or other we're floating along thinking this will not happen to me. Yes, there are a few more wrinkles and a few more gray hairs, but some or other I'm going to live. Yes, you're going to live eternally, but not in this body. So we have to prepare. That's the whole point of Krishna consciousness. Prepare yourself first to leave this world in the best way and achieve the highest destination, and then you can genuinely give that information to others. It's just like if you go online and you see there's a cheap ticket, $500 round trip to India. First, you buy it. And then you tell others. Otherwise, it might be a scam. If you haven't bought it yourself, and you have the ticket in hand, and you know, yes, this is real, then you can gleefully get online and tell everybody, hey, get this ticket to India, $500 round trip. So first of all, we have to take the Vaikuntha passport. We have to take this instruction and apply it in our lives and at least see that we're achieving the destination, and then we can give it to others. We don't preach. We're not preachers. And some people dislike that word, and with good reason. We're not preachers, actually. We are just deliverers of the information that we've gotten from the predecessors. That's all. Prabhupada said, like a postal peon. The postman doesn't get any credit for bringing you whatever he brings you. Sometimes it's a check for $5,000, and sometimes it's a summons to go to court. Whatever it is, he has nothing to do with it. He's just delivering the mail. So Krishna consciousness preaching is like that. We're just delivering the mail that we're getting through the succession. And therefore, we don't have anything to worry about. Whether people like or they don't like, that's not our problem. However, we should be intelligent. One time on a morning walk here in Los Angeles, one devotee said, Prabhupada, you know, when we preach and we tell people about principles and all that, Prabhupada said, jam this cane in the ground and stop. Said, why are you surprised? You're preaching to cats and dogs. You make them fortunate by giving. How? How do you make people fortunate? Prasadam, like the prasadam yesterday was so wonderful, right? Thanksgiving lunch. I know it's good when Subhas comes back for seconds. Subhas came back. Give me more. Put more gravy. Nice prasadam. That's how you make people fortunate. Feed them Krishna prasadam. They don't even have to know what it is. Like we did the AAR convention in Denver, myself and Brigapati. And every day we had some sweet there. We tell people, this is a sample from our cookbook. Please try. Mostly we take ladu. First day was loglu, but it was so crumbly. They would take one bite, there were crumbs all over the place. So I told the devotees at the temple, please make something that doesn't fall apart so easily. So they made ladu. And people like it. They don't know anything about Krishna. They don't know anything about chanting Hare Krishna. But they know they like this Krishna prasadam. They like it. They take a bite. Ooh, this is wonderful. So that's how you make people fortunate. First of all, prasadam. Distribute prasadam profusely. And of course, the chanting of the holy name. Because that's the whole goal, is to get people to chant. So Omkara, from the very beginning, the ladies in Henry Street Temple took her under their wing because she was so young. And she got involved in all of this. Chanting, distributing prasadam, distributing books. And she's a wonderful soul. I will always remember her. Wonderful person. Very naturally sweet personality. Not, you know, some people, they are fake sweet. And you just know at any moment they can snap and bite your head off. But Omkar was not like that. Very, very naturally sweet personality. So we should take it at heart that, you know, at any moment we can go. So many of our God brothers, I think Brigu is keeping track, at least of the ones that he knew personally. How many names on the list now? About 230 devotees that he knew personally that have left already. So this is going to happen to all of us. We have to be prepared. So Lord Vishnu is preparing Lord Brahma to do his service of subsequent creation, creating all of the planets and situations for the living entities. Because when you leave your body, when the entire universe is wrapped up, there are three activities that go on here. Srishti, Stiti, Pralaya. Srishti means Srishti, creation, Stiti, maintenance. Pralaya, destruction. So that's all that's going on here in this material world. Something is created, it's maintained for some time, and then it's destroyed. But in the meantime, we get attracted, or I should say distracted, by these things. Again, if you gave somebody a lump of steel, they're not at all attracted to it, at least the ordinary person. But if you turn that steel into a Mercedes, oh, very attractive. I want it. And is that Mercedes going to last forever? No. It will at some point fall apart. I may have told a story before. There's one nice devotee from Austria that I met in Florida. His name is Govardhan. And his father, he admits his father was a Nazi. He was a Nazi sympathizer. He thought the Nazis should have won the war and things would have been better that way. So he only bought German products. So he bought his German Mercedes and he would love that car. And one day he was driving along the highway and it stopped working. He almost had a heart attack because he loved his German car so much. He swore by that car, but one day just, boom, stopped working. So that's the case of anything material. Comes into being, stays for some time, dwindles, or sometimes just abruptly stops working. And that includes, again, our material bodies. So we have to be prepared for that. There's so many indications along the way. So many indications. You get a cold, a fever, COVID, whatever. You break an arm, you break a leg. Most people, I don't know about you, sometimes you have a fracture you don't even know. When I was in high school, I went out for track and field. One day I decided, let me try high jumping. So I learned a technique, and I was jumping. And after one jump, I landed very awkwardly. And it turned out I had a fractured collarbone. I didn't even know. It was painful after a couple of weeks. My mother said, go to the doctor, find out what's really... They took x-rays, and it was broken. So the doctor at that point, he said, it's almost reset. It's just slightly off. If you like, I can re-break it and make it proper. Nah. I decided to just keep it the way it was. So there are so many indications along the way of the fragility of our material situation. So when the final moment comes, you can't be surprised. So we have to be prepared. It's like being in school. There are class of students, who are always prepared. They always do the assignment. They study way ahead. They read everything. So when the final comes, you know that person's going to pass. There's no surprise. Probably going to get an A, at worst an A minus. And then there are those in the middle. Sometimes they study, sometimes they don't. So maybe they'll pass, maybe they won't. And then there's the bottom of the class. They never come to class. They're always out partying. You know that guy's not going to pass. Forget it. He's probably going to have to drop out of school. So life in general is like that. If you prepare yourself, consciously follow the recommendations of the scriptures, of the guru, and ultimately it's Krishna that's driving everything along, then you're going to pass. When the final moment comes, you're going to remember Krishna, because that's the goal, is to remember Krishna at the final moment. Smartavya satatam Vishnu, Vish smartavya najatachit. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, even for a moment. Sarvavidinishadaksu, Etayo eva kinkara. All of the vidis, all of the instructions of the Vedas, this is the most important of all of them. Etayo eva kinkara. All the others are servants of this, kinkara means servant, of this one instruction. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So we can test ourselves as we go along in life. Am I always remembering Krishna? Or does moment to moment do I forget so badly that if something happens, I get angry? Anger is a sure indication that we're not taking control of the situation. Something happens, and immediately we're mistrained to think, why me? Why are you doing this to me? Always it's somebody else's fault. But the devotee outlook is, what have I done to deserve this? I must have done something to deserve this. The Lord is in complete control, so let me just take further shelter of him. So everything so-called positive or so-called negative becomes an impetus to remembering Krishna, which is what we're supposed to be doing moment to moment to moment. And that is only possible if there's love. Like those, again, who raise their hands as fathers, there are also mothers here. They cannot forget their child for a moment, no matter how old the child is. The mother is 90 years old and the son is 65 years old. She always remembers everything that happened between them. That's just natural because there's love there. There's natural love between mother and child. So the mother remembers everything that the child has done. She can tell him something that he said when he was 3 years old. She remembers everything. So it's like that. If we love Krishna, then we remember everything about Krishna that we've heard. His pastimes, as the Lord is saying here to Lord Brahma, you're reciting my glories. And because of that, why is it that some can remember and recite the glories of the Lord and others can't? So the Lord gave the answer at the end of the verse here. By my causeless mercy, madanugraha, by my causeless mercy, you're in this position. So that means we should always seek the mercy of the Lord. Don't think that we're doing things in our own strength. I'm so smart, I'm so strong. No. By Krishna's mercy, we get positive result in life. So we should always seek Krishna's mercy. All right, I'll stop here. There are a couple of minutes if somebody has a question about anything I said. Okay, Granta Rashima Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai.